That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, I got out in the world today, as I like to say, and I went down, I moseyed over to Moda Center. And I checked out what was going on as it pertains to the Portland Regional of the Women's NCAA Tournament. Now, I did notice, and credit to the city of Portland, that the area around Moda Center appears to have been cleaned up. So it is a step in the right direction. We've also heard on this show and throughout other media outlets that the Portland Police Bureau and the City of Portland are very much focused on making this a positive event for the region, for the city, and oh man, do we need a win. The City of Portland, State of Oregon, we so badly need a win that I'm just left knocking on wood. I'm left, crossing my fingers. I got to be honest, I went over to Moda Center and I kind of went, okay, give me some signs that we've got our act together. And by we, I mean nothing to do with me. I'm not among those planning this event. I'm just covering it. Good people at Oregon State are hosting it and appear to be doing a nice job with the operations. But I walked around Moda Center, walked in, checked it out, watched Stanford practice for a little bit. Cameron Brink on the floor, Tara Vanderveer's team, one of eight teams in Portland. And for people who don't know, the women's tournament is a little different than the men's tournament in its format, in that there are, instead of four regional sites that produce one team each that goes to the Final Four, there is simply Portland and Albany, New York. And eight teams in each region, so there will be eight teams at Moda Center playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Two teams will survive and go on to play in the Final Four in Cleveland. The men's tournament, of the Sweet 16, puts just four teams in each region and then lets them play down to one. Women's tournament, a little different. I think you get more bang for your buck, frankly. If you're a ticket holder, if you grab tickets on Ticketmaster or StubHub, I was checking out the prices just to see what would happen yesterday, and it looked like you could get into the lower bowl to see Friday night's action for around $65, $70 a ticket, and the prices go down from there. But it wasn't a bad ticket as it pertains to an NCAA tournament event. Now, if Caitlin Clark happened to be in the Portland region, and she's not, those tickets would be four to five times what they're selling for. I still think we've got great basketball with Juju Watkins, the next best thing in college basketball in USC there. Cameron Brink, a highly seeded Stanford team there. Gonzaga bringing in the Gonzaga fans and a good team. UConn, and Duke and Texas all showing up. North Carolina State all showing up, hopeful that they can be among the two teams that advance. Now, I don't care. I don't have a dog in the fight, okay? And even though in my bracket, I have South Carolina, I have USC, I have some teams that I like better than others. Even though in my bracket, I probably have a rooting interest, I don't really have a dog in the fight. My big, forgive me here, because I've lived here too long and I've seen us mess this stuff up before. But my hope is that the Portland Regional ends up being a smashing success and that people look and go, hey, that was a great event. There were no incidents like the incident in Idaho where the Utah basketball team had to change hotels because a couple of idiots in their racist idiots in their trucks were revving their engines and yelling slurs at the Utah basketball team, like literally, you know, basically doing the opposite of hospitality. Like, I'm just hopeful that we have an incident-free, relatively happy, safe event, and that people go down to Moda Center and walk away feeling better than they have, frankly, all season long with the NBA team that happens to play there. And it's a low bar to clear. And I'm normally one that says, don't lower the bar. I remember when I first got here to this market 20 years ago, and I said, hey, you know what? Everybody was lowering the bar. Oregon State hadn't been to a bowl game in like 28 years. They just broken a streak. University of Oregon fans still remembered what it was like to be in an empty stadium. I had a lot of Blazer fans who were like, well, at least they're not getting in trouble as the benchmark for, you know, success in an NBA season. And I said, don't lower the bar. How are you guys lowering the bar? Why are you so eager to lower the bar? And here I am 20 years later going, you know what? Let's just have a good time. And let's just have an incident-free event. And I think that's what it's about when you're the host city. And we saw Spokane blow it last weekend as some of the teams could not be housed in hotels in the Spokane area, and Utah being one of them, had to be bused to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And then specifically, Utah changed hotels because the team did not feel safe with some of the racial slurs that were yelled by two individuals that they say were in the parking lot revving their engines, yelling stuff out. And they were like, this is not where we should be. We don't want any of that stuff in Portland. We don't want any incidents with crime around the arena. We want people to be able to go to the event. We want the event itself to be the news. And maybe, just maybe, I'm being a little Pollyanna in thinking that we can hold this event and not embarrass ourselves, but in much the same way that Anna and I will occasionally lean over to the 7-year-old and the 9-year-old when we're in a restaurant or we're going into a setting and say, well, we need you on your best behavior now. My parents used to do that to me. Much in that same way, we are left kind of talking about this event and the peripheral activities going on around it. I am hopeful that it is a smashing success. I got excited going over to the arena and just seeing the NCAA logo. And I was walking around the concourse, and, you know, there were a lot of photographers and media people kind of unpacking their boxes and getting ready for the event. And, of course, you know, everything there will be live tomorrow as the opening round of the Portland Regional Games will be played tomorrow, 4:30 and beyond. And I watched even the concession people. They were taking the souvenir people were taking the T-shirts and the swag out of the boxes, and they were sorting it, and I said, are you guys ready? And they looked at me and they said no, and I posted a video on Instagram of me walking around the arena a little bit. If you are on the gram, check it out. But in the end, I'm just kind of left thinking, like, this is going to be great. This should be an incident-free event. This should be something that Portland, a city that just a few years ago took a massive PR hit with the rioting and the nonsense and the lawlessness that was tolerated, that Portland can finally have something nice. We can have nice things, can't we? I think it's going to be a great weekend. I hope it's going to be a great weekend. I'm crossing my fingers. I'm knocking on wood. We got a lot to talk about today in a short amount of time. We only have a one-hour show today because we are going to be preempted by NCAA tournament games, which is awesome because we're going to have the games. And so I appreciate everybody who's here with us, but we're going to move fast today. A number of things going on in sports I want to get to. We got a big guest coming up in about 12 minutes. I don't know if you read my column today at johnconzano.com. I encourage you to check that out. But I wrote about Jason Puckett, known as Puck, KJR Sports in Seattle. That was his previous home for 22 years. He quit the job this week. He walked out. He did Jerry Maguire, Fish Have Manners, held up the bag, the goldfish. I don't know if you saw the movie. Jerry Maguire walked out of the job and did his own thing. Puck has done that himself. He was previously the host of Puck and Jim, the show that aired from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on KJR. There was some nonsense pulled by iHeartRadio and the management there, and Puck decided that he could no longer tolerate working there and decided to bet on himself. And you know that I can relate to that in a way that is closer to home than most. And if you're a small business owner or you're somebody out there that has ever thought about taking that leap, Puck's going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes and he's going to talk about it, talk about what went into it, what went into his decision. He's going to spill the tea, so to speak. But it involves a contract negotiation. His co-host was laid off at the end of that, and just some nonsense. And finally, in the end, somebody willing and able to make a pretty inspirational bet on himself. I wrote about Puck today. You can read it at johnconzano.com, but Puck's going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. Pat Chun introduced today as the new athletic director at the University of Washington. Try this on. The same guy that was in a courtroom in Colfax, Washington, a few short months ago, sitting right in front of me on the bench next to Kirk Schultz, the president of Washington State. They sat, I could reach out, I actually reached out and touched Pat Chun's shoulder one time, tapped him on the shoulder. How you doing? And that same guy that was on that side of the equation has now jumped to the other side. He was introduced today. Try this on. How does this sound? Pat Chun, University of Washington athletic director.
This is a unique moment in time for UW and college athletics. As college sports continues to go through dynamic change, Washington and the Big Ten Conference should be leaders, not followers. We will not take a backseat to anyone, and we will ensure that our voices are heard at the highest levels of college athletics. On Montlake, while football often gets the most attention, we will pursue championships, and I say that plural, in every sport that we sponsor. We will provide our student-athletes with a transformational student-athlete experience that will shape the rest of their lives. We will support them as they pursue their degrees and career interests. We will engage the community, both local and state, as a point of pride. We will be great partners across campus and friends with our supporters and fans. We'll be unrelenting in our daily pursuit of excellence. We will work every day to be the best we are absolutely supposed to be.
It sounds weird to me to hear Pat Chun speaking in those terms. And I feel much in the same way for Washington State fans that I felt for Oregon State fans when Jonathan Smith left for Michigan State. Pat Chun was Washington State's guy. He was their champion. I hear him saying the words, you know, that, you know, they will not take a back seat and they will, you know, and I keep thinking like, gosh, that was similar to the stuff he said at Washington State when Washington State was left behind. Can I ultimately blame him for taking the job? Sure, you can blame him if you want for taking that job. He's not a University of Washington alum. He's not a Washington State alum. He's an Ohio State guy. And all along, I thought Pat Chun would end up at Ohio State, replacing Gene Smith, maybe. Or maybe even at USC, where he was considered when USC hired Jen Cohen, the athletic director at the University of Washington. It's weird to see him in that position. It's like seeing Ken Griffey Jr. in a Reds uniform, or frankly, Willie Mays in a New York Mets uniform. It's like watching Joe Montana go and play for the Kansas City Chiefs, although I would caution you that Pat Chun probably doesn't know how to throw a spiral. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a smart guy. I understand why he did it. I still think it's going to be weird to see him in purple and to see him representing one of the haves after being with the have-nots and being one of the tentpole voices among the Pac-2 conference, one of the four most important people as they were striving to rebuild the conference. I'll be interested to see if Pat Chun has some empathy for Washington State's plight. I'll be interested to see if Washington schedules Washington State in a way that might not otherwise, moving forward with football. I'll be interested to see if he and some others who have gone off to the Big Ten Conference who understand what Oregon State and understand what Washington State are up against, I'll be curious to see how that manifests itself, if at all. Meanwhile, his former football coach, Jake Dickert, speaking out, saying, look, we want people who want to be here in Pullman. Here's Dickert talking about the departure of Chun.
Well, I think the biggest thing in our program, one of our mission statements is to possess a genuine appreciation for the effort and commitment that everyone makes, okay? And I have a genuine appreciation for Pat. I wouldn't be standing in front of you guys with a life-changing opportunity if he didn't believe in me. Those are the facts. I believe in facts, not emotions, okay? But at the end of the day, we want people here that want to be here. And that's from the janitor all the way up to the top administration. That's it, right? We're about focused on getting the right people on our bus. So I believe in Kirk, and I think he's going to find the right person. Not the most experienced, not the best fundraiser, the right person for Washington State. and I'm extremely passionate about that and finding who that is. And football knows what we have to do as we keep working towards what the new future of Washington State is. So I'm not emotional about where it is, what's going to happen. I'm focused on what we need to do and what our football team has to do every day to keep getting better, and excited about that.
I like Jake Dickert, but I also think he's selling something he doesn't totally believe in. He's an emotional guy. He's the guy on the field after Washington State upset multiple teams who has gone out and said, you know, hey, this is about us belonging. This is about, you know, being in the position that they belong. You know, Dickert is an emotional guy who coaches an emotional sport. And I always think it's like, almost like when somebody prefaces a statement by saying, I don't mean this as an insult, and then proceeds to make an insult. Dickert set forth the mantra, we belong. We belong in a Power Five. We belong on the national stage. And he's got an athletic director who, on one hand, gave him the opportunity after Nick Rolovich. But on the other hand, you know, Jake Dickert, in a lot of ways, saved Pat Chun. Rolovich was a Chun hire, and Dickert salvaged it to the point where it was palatable and passable, and that, you know, a school like Washington, who found itself in a pinch, needed to make a hire, turned to the guy at their rival school and said, okay, he did all right, and look, that Rolovich thing wasn't great, and yet he found a solution on his own campus. But here's Jake Dickert, a guy who says, I deal in facts, not emotion, after, you know, beating Oregon State this last football season.
Well, I think it's what it means for Washington State as a whole. We're very, very well aware of what's going on, and we're carrying the flag for this team, this university, this faculty, their alumni, and once again, I'll say it, we belong. We belong, and just excited for Cougs everywhere. I know how proud you guys are. We have your back. I love you guys. I love this place, and it's done so much for me. It means a lot. It really does.
You can't tell me that guy is not emotional about things. I think he understands what Pat Chun did in much the same way that I think all of us now kind of look at what Jonathan Smith did and said, hey, he did what was best for himself, maybe his family, but he didn't do what was best for the mission that he had sold to players and athletes inside the athletic department. And I think that, you know, leaves a lot of people feeling flat, particularly, you know, Washington State fans today who are watching Pat Chun get introduced. Our next guest didn't necessarily do what was best for himself. Jason Puckett, KJR in Seattle for 22 years. He was on in Portland prior to that and moved to Seattle, and has been a mainstay on KJR's programming, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Puck and Jim, Jason Puckett and Jim Moore. It's a show I went on once a week every Tuesday. I join them for 10 or 15 minutes. We talk about whatever. I always enjoyed going on with those guys. Puck did a remarkable and inspiring thing this week. He backed his friend over doing what was best for himself, using air quotes here. Jason Puckett was negotiating his contract, had been in an impasse with management at KJR, and decided ultimately, once they offered him what he wanted to stay, what he needed to be able to sign the contract, right before he went to sign it, he was informed that his sidekick, Jim, was going to be laid off. Jim is 66, was planning to retire at the end of the year. It's just one of these no-brain things that corporations do. Like, you know, you could have approached Jim and said, hey, you know you're out at the end of the year. We're going to lay you off now. Can we find a way to make this work? No. They went to Jim and said, hey, we want to let you go here. And when Puck found out about it, he was hopping mad or disappointed, whatever, however you want to frame it. I'll let him speak in his words next. But I talked to Puck on Monday morning, and he was facing a moment of truth. And I talked to Jim as well. Both of them reached out, called me, and said, what do you think of this? And I gave him advice, but, you know, tried not to interject my own thoughts and opinions or what I would do necessarily. Mostly I just listened. And I got a text from Puck later that night who said, I'm jumping in the deep end. He has launched his own endeavor, and he'll be here next to talk about it. Jason Puckett is next. Back in the day, I used to avoid the comment section. I did. The newspapers I worked for said, get in there and mix it up. The engagement is good. And I went, nope, it's a cesspool in there. Unless you're giving me a hazmat suit, I'm not going into the comment section. Well, the comment section at johnconzano.com is different. It's subscribers. It's people who want to be there. It's people using their real names. And because of that, I have found that it's a pleasant place to hang out. And I was hanging out in the comment section today, and I wrote today about Jason Puckett, known as Puck, formerly of KJR in Seattle for 22 years, and just kind of wrote his story. So often, we identify and define people using using their roles, right? Using their job. You're a sports columnist. You're a radio show host. You're a school teacher. You're a bus driver. You're a lawyer. You're a doctor. Whatever it is, we identify people that way. And less frequently, we talk about who they really are. Well, I got a chance to know our guest, Jason Puckett, and get an idea of who he is. As a dad, a husband, a friend, a guy who's got more than sports to talk about, he has left KJR in Seattle, and he's here to spill some of the tea about it. We're not here to trash on KJR, but I'm interested in Puck's story and what he's doing now, and you should be as well. Jason Puckett joining us now. How has your day been?
It's been good. Thank you. Appreciate all you've done for me. Yeah, you left out brown water drinker connoisseur, so that's always a good one to throw in there as well. I'm doing good, John. I just quickly, for all the listeners out there, I mean, I think that a lot of your listeners know, you know, kind of what you do behind the scenes and, you know, with your writing and everything and how you reach out and help people. But you've been such a good friend to me and a confidant and someone I can lean on and seek advice from the last few weeks, months. And I can't thank you enough. Can't thank you enough for what you have done for me and kind of the inspiration you've provided for me. So I just want your listeners to know that, because they think you're kind of old and curmudgeon and like not a good guy.
Exactly.
I'm trying to paint a different side of you to them. He's actually, guys, a dear Amy and Derek down there in Portland. He's a nice guy. You like him.
Thank you. Thanks. We'll bring you on more often. How about once a week? Hey, Puck Sports.
I've got free time.
PuckSports.com is the new website he has launched. He is working for himself now, producing a podcast and video cast and doing some other fun things on that website. It's live now. If you want to check it out, PuckSports.com. Let's back way up, though, Puck. Let's go back to age 12. You're a kid. You're in school. Set the scene for us. You know, the story goes that you wanted to talk about sports, and you wanted to make people smile.
Yeah, like a lot of people growing up just loving sports, you know, playing it, you know, me not playing it well, but, you know, just love being around it and just love watching sports and all that. And, you know, when I was a kid, you know, a lot of my heroes were, you know, the people I watched, you know, Steve Largent and Kurt Warner, the old Seahawks players and all the old Sonic players, you know, back in the day, and, you know, X-Man and Xavier McDaniel and Dale Ellison, all those guys and all the former Mariners. But, you know, the guys that I really looked up to the most were my local newscasters who did the sports. So here in Seattle, like, there was four of them that were just great. And Bruce King was one. He was the legendary one at Como 4 News. There was another guy by the name of Tony Ventrella that did it at the NBC affiliate. And the CBS guy was Wayne Cody, if people remember Wayne Cody back in the day.
Yeah.
He was a big Santa Claus-type figure. And then another gentleman by the name of Rod Simons. Anyways, those guys, when I was a kid growing up, I would watch and devour all of, like, the local news. Like, I would bounce around every channel to watch their local sportscast. You know, so back in the day, they'd get, like, 6, 7, 8 minutes to do it. And I just would be in awe that these guys got to talk about sports. They got to interview athletes. They got to go to all these cool sporting events, and they got to do it for free, and this was their job. And I just couldn't fathom that you got paid to do this. Like, someone pays you to go watch sports and talk about it. And so we had a project when I was in junior high around 7th, 8th grade where you could do a job shadow. So I ended up job shadowing Bruce King, and it just kind of changed my life. And I knew what I wanted to do, but it just kind of cemented it. And he couldn't be nicer. He was like, I mean, he was more famous in Seattle than the actual athletes. And he showed me around and kind of showed me, you know, how it was and what he did. And I just thought it was the coolest thing. I thought it was like meeting Santa Claus. And I remember just coming home, you know, after that, and, you know, turning to my dad going, you know, how was it? I said, well, I know what I want to do. I just want to talk sports for a living. And my dad had a pretty good sense of humor. And I don't think he meant it in like any rude or condescending way. He just kind of looked at me and he goes, well, you better learn how to pour a drink, because the only people that talk about sports are bartenders. And so I'm like 12 or 13. I don't know. I'm like, okay, I'll be a bartender, I guess. But that just kind of stuck with me over the years. I always used it kind of as a carrot, you know, and as, you know, my dad passed away several years ago, but I was kind of looked back at that moment. And that's just kind of where my love affair started with it. And all I've ever wanted to do was talk sports and entertain and just kind of make people laugh. I've always just kind of been that class clown, whether it was in school and out of school at work. And that's what I've just tried to do. I've never tried to take it too serious. And it's kind of led to this moment and this like big life decision that I made. And I think I made the right one. I hope I made the right one, but it's been a long road, and it's a long, you know, weaving road that took me, you know, through Portland way back in the day when I just started out my career. But I don't regret anything that I've done, John.
You grew up reading Jim Moore at the Seattle PI, and then one day you find yourself hosting a show with him. Can you maybe speak to that relationship a little bit and why it worked so well? Because you guys have great on-air chemistry.
He just, when I was, yeah, and I used to remind him of that a lot. Like, I remember, you know, that was kind of our shtick and bit on the show, that I would bring up all the columns that he wrote back in the day for the PI, and Jim was, he's just a different columnist. Like, he didn't write how most columnists back then did, you know, where there was just, like, hard-hitting opinions on sports. He would just find the offbeat nature of the subject and write about it. And he used to always write about like their families and did they have a dog. Like every column he wrote had something to do with a dog, but they were so personal, and they were had this personal touch, but it was so relatable. And I just was always in awe of how he wrote. It was so funny. He would be laughing at the, you know, at the table getting ready to go to school. So I knew Jim for a long time. And, you know, he was working at a different station, you know, when I was working at KJR, and we'd always see him, you know, we'd always bump into each other. We were always hanging out. We were friends. I mean, he used to be like a regular guest on KJR when I was working there as a 23, 24 year old. And I just kind of always filed it away that, man, it would be so much fun to work together. And we had the opportunity to do so. It's surreal. I mean, not, you know, you get to really work with people you look up to and kind of, you're in awe of when you're younger, and I got a chance to do that for a couple of years with him, and it was awesome. It was such a great chemistry that we had, because we're good friends, and it just kind of carried over onto the air. And it's, I think, how sports radio or any type of talk radio should be. You know, I've always thought it's like two things, right? It's sports radio should be kind of bar talk, sitting around a bar, because that's kind of where it originated, in the barbershop. I think those are the two things. And I think that we kind of overcomplicated at times with all the X's and O's and serious talk and nature of it. But yeah, he was just has been a huge impact on my life and career, and a valued friend. And, you know, the way I feel about him, and, you know, made my decision to leave KJR a lot easier, because I just know that he would have done the same thing, you know, for me, if he was put in a similar situation.
Now, let's talk about that situation. 22 years, your contract ends in January. You continue to work beyond the contract, trying to get the details hammered out. And, you know, that had to be not that comfortable for you to be in that position in that uncertainty.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody that's, you know, listening that maybe has ever dealt with a contract in maybe a different, you know, form of work, you know, understands, you know, kind of the nature of it. It's, you know, it's a tough world. You know, media is in general. It's very competitive. And there's not a lot of jobs. And I was very confident that a contract was going to get done. I wanted the contract to get done, and was hopeful that we would be able to kind of ride out, you know, the final year together. But, you know, this negotiations kind of just went back and forth, and it ultimately didn't work out. Well, I mean, it ended up working out kind of in the end. I mean, I was able to kind of get and receive what I wanted, but, you know, the plan was that, you know, Jim was going to work out throughout the end of the year, and you know, we would just kind of move on from that
you know, after that, and maybe I would leave or maybe I would stay. But, you know, after, you know, a few hours or a day that I had received, you know, an offer from the station, that I was then informed as part of like nationwide cutoffs within the company iHeartMedia that he was one of them. And, you know, so I think if you put yourself in my position, anyone, I think you're left a little like, you know, confused and conflicted and angry. And you're like, wait a minute, you're on this high that you just got, you know, kind of the money and the offer you wanted. But then on the flip side, the person that you work next to is now no longer going to be there. And it was just, you know, I think your mind naturally goes to, wait a minute, did they just pay me in order? Did they just fire him in order to pay me? And that was just something that, you know, I know those some people wanted to disagree with me about it, but it was just something, a perception I couldn't get out of my head, that people, my listeners and people I work with, would always have about me, thinking that that I received a contract based on because a partner and a good friend had lost his job. And it was too hard for me to kind of deal with. And I just didn't like, you know, how it sit with me and how it would be perceived with people, even though I knew the truth and Jim knew the truth. But it's a hard thing. Once kind of that perception sets in and that narrative starts, it's kind of hard to fight that. You can't really argue that on the air. No, I didn't have anything to do with it. I think once people, you know this, once people kind of set their hooks into something, what they believe in, it's kind of what they believe in. And so, you know, I just decided that I wanted to walk away and kind of, you know, in my own way, kind of show, you know, some solidarity and some loyalty to Jim. And, but also, this was something that, you know, I think has always kind of been in the back of my mind that I'd like to try. And certainly kind of watching you have success and others have success, that it starts to become a little bit more of a reality. So I decided to pull the ripcord and go a little bit early on it.
PuckSports.com is the website. Jason Puckett, our guest. You mentioned Jim. I talked to you on Monday. I wasn't sure what you were going to do after you got off the phone. Like, I think you were kind of just...
I did.
You were sorting it out. And then I talked to Jim. He called me shortly after, and I thought it was really cool. Like, I talked to you both individually, and the thing that struck me was you seemed more concerned about doing right by Jim, and Jim also seemed concerned about you doing right, you know, and ending up in a good position. Like, he was worried about you, you were worried about him. That's a true friendship.
I thought you were going to say Jim was like, man, if I was in his shoes, I'd take the money and go and throw me in the ditch. Which, you know what? That son of a gun, he might do that. No. yeah, I mean, I see a lot of myself, you know, we're 20 years, you know, about 20 years apart. A little less than, I think. But, I mean, I see a lot of myself in him, and I think he sees a lot of himself, you know, in me. I mean, he's a great dad. He's, you know, he's got three great kids, two boys, a daughter, and, you know, he's a great friend, you know, to his closest friends and his high school friends. I mean, he's still, you know, he's still buddies with like a lot of his elementary school friends. I mean, no one is. I mean, there's hardly, but I've got great friends that from my elementary school years. So there's a lot of great parallels, and he and I just both have this, you know, if you do me right, we'll always have your back kind of mentality. And so, you know, I think there was kind of a special bond there that no doubt always kind of came across on the air. That was never forced or made up. You know, in this industry, it's you know, that type of chemistry sometimes is forced on you, because sometimes you work with somebody you've never met before and don't have a relationship with. But that certainly wasn't the case with us. And it just became natural and easy. I mean, that microphone light turned on and we just kind of went. And there was never a script. There was, other than like, here's the guests that are coming up today, there was never discussion about what we were going to talk about. No clue where the direction of the show was going to go. And I always thought, although some thought would be got upset about it, were a little, you know, maddening at times that, you know, we didn't get right to a sports topic or something, or was kind of all over the place. But I think it was, I think refreshing in a way to just kind of go and talk. And, but yeah, he's a good soul, that Jim Moore, for sure.
Jason Puckett, our guest. Puck, I always say your job doesn't love you. It's not going to kiss you back. It's not going to hug you. In fact, when you fall down, your job's going to step right over your cold body and go to the next person. I have to know, as you are sort of sifting through this, you've got a wife and you've got two kids at home, and You know, how much did you talk with them about making this decision?
They found out yesterday for the first time. No, I'm just joking. No. Can you imagine just coming
surprise!
Down from the stairs? Hey, surprise, Daddy doesn't work there anymore. The best thing my kids said to me, is they were all on board. They had been I told my kids about 3 or 4 days ago to keep them out of it. My wife had obviously known forever, and she was great and super supportive and just a rock, as, you know, most, you know, spouses are, and always had my back and just kept telling me, whatever decision you make, we're behind you. My kids, the best part about my kids, though, at the station that we've at KJR, we had a pop machine there. The greatest thing about working at this place was we had a pop machine that ever since I worked there, it was 25 cents for a pop. It was the greatest deal. Like inflation, oh, wow, in this area, right? Seattle, Portland, everything's expensive. That thing was always 25 cents. And the first thing when I told my kids, and I'm kind of breaking down and crying, well, I'm not going to work there anymore. It's going to be hard. And I don't want you guys to worry, and we'll still be able to do stuff. My 10-year-old, my son Owen, who's pretty much just like me, just turns to me and goes, man, he goes, sure ain't going to miss that pop machine. That was a good deal. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Owen. And I'm like, I'm crying. And he's like, God, I wish, is there any way we can get that pop machine here? Or I'm like, what can we do? Like, how can we get that back over, like, in the house? So super supportive. You know, they're a big part. My family is, of just the show. I mean, they're, in essence, kind of personalities, really. I mean, they, you know, they, listeners know them by their nicknames. You know, my son goes as the vampire because, well, the first 2 years of his life, he didn't sleep at night. So he would be up all night long and then sleep during the day. And so mom and dad never slept for 2 years. He's the vampire. And then my daughter's 14. We used to call her Beast Mode after Marshawn Lynch because she just kind of acts like Marshawn Lynch. So, you know, it's kind of cool because, you know, people reached out after I left and, you know, would just say, hey, we're going to miss all the stories that you used to tell on all your trips and to what you guys would do as a family. We feel like we've kind of listened to and watched your kids grow up, and they, you know, they cite them by, you know, their nickname. So, you know, this platform is super personable, and as you know, and it's, I don't think there's anything else like it. So that's a really cool thing to see, you know, people reach out to you with, you know, with so many heartfelt responses.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, today I reached out to you a couple times because I was writing about you this morning, and then I got a bunch of response from people who maybe had never read you or never listened to you, and they said they're going to, you know, check out your site. What are the plans for the site? Like, what are you going to do with PuckSports.com?
I'm just going to really just take what we did on the radio side and just bring it over, you know, kind of to the digital side. I mean, I just think that's the kind of the way, and, you know, with where this platform is going anyways. I mean, I mean, just look at it in your own viewing habits or listening habits. I mean, a lot of people just go direct to consumer now. I mean, it's, yep, you know, TV watching and listening to stuff. You know, people are so busy. They want to pick and choose what they want to devour. So I'm going to take that. I mean, I'm not reinventing the wheel here. I mean, I'm going to deliver it differently than I have before. I like the video aspect of it, you know, that we're going to be doing on the site of PuckSports.com. I mean, you're going to find it anywhere, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, all that kind of stuff. And just kind of try and bring, you know, exactly what we did, you know, over to, you know, kind of a digital platform. You know, the good thing for me is because I'm terrible. You can ask your boss. I'm terrible at breaking on time. So, you know what? I don't have to break on time. I never have to worry about ever getting out and missing commercials because you can just go as long as you want. And I love that. So, yeah, but it's cool because I think it's, as you know, it's cool to kind of just have something as your own. And all the responsibility now is on your shoulders. That's daunting. It's scary. But it is extremely, extremely exhilarating. And there's just something that has kind of re-energized me about it. To think that if it is successful, boy, it's, you know, I mean, there are a lot of people that have had a hand in it, but it's, you've kind of put yourself out there to make it work. And I think it's kind of given me a creativity boost that I've probably have been missing for a little bit.
I heard from Pac-12 athletic directors today. I heard from high profile boosters and donors, one of who told me, I'm going to read his text. He said, I don't know your friend from Seattle, but I'm hoping he'll have a giant lift today. And this is from an entrepreneur himself who's wildly successful. And this is somebody who understands the anxiety and the exhilaration that goes with having it on you. Now, this morning, as you wake up, first of all, how'd you sleep overnight? And did you feel that exhilaration and anxiety this morning?
Oh yeah, all of it. I mean, I didn't sleep at all. I mean, I need a better Wi-Fi booster to download all these videos. I'm like up all night, just making sure that they all like posted on time and were placed up there. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of moments of ups and downs, the highs and lows. Exhilarated when you finish an interview and you do different stuff and you create something that you kind of doing yourself, you're putting up on a platform for everyone to see. But then also just the, oh my God, this isn't working. Why is this not loading right? What's going on? And you're just like, you're panicking. And now you're yelling at your dogs. My dogs get very scared of me. I got two like labs, a black and chocolate lab. They'll like run upstairs, like and hide, you know, in the bedroom because, you know, dad's yelling at them. So yeah, it's all up and down. It's a ton of wave of emotions, but I've talked to others who've gone through this and they're like, yeah, expect it. You're just going to kind of be up and down for a little while. But, you know, it's fun. You know, I think it's cool to kind of do like a launch today. We'll get more into it kind of next week, but, you know, do kind of a soft launch on open day, which is such a huge day, obviously, you know, in this city and, you know, all across the country. But yeah, I mean, nervous, and excited at the same time, and scared. I think all of those emotions.
Jason Puckett with us, PuckSports.com. If you want to see his video cast, his podcast, you can find it all there, right there at PuckSports.com. I got to ask you this, okay? So KJR's got Jim Moore and you, and they have a good thing going. You guys are kind of like this cougar island in the middle of this ocean of Husky content, and it works, for that reason. It's a nice little point-counterpoint that goes on when you guys are humming along. Jim tells me he was going to retire anyway at the end of the year, 9 months away from retirement. Why doesn't KJR just say, Jim, play it out? Why make a stand now? How corporate, like, it's corporate idiocy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, it's something I have a hard time wrapping my head around. I don't know. I don't know why. They couldn't do that. You know, I would assume they would just say that, you know, and I'm not in that corporate world that, you know, those people that are certainly way above me, you know, and I don't doubt these are massively difficult decisions and someone's telling you need to do something. So you, in order to kind of keep your job, you've got to make a decision. So I don't know why. I mean, I wish I had a better answer for you. I mean, that's what I would have loved to see and see happen. And I think it would have been just kind of a fitting end to everything, but, you know, unfortunately they didn't. And, you know, I think that I think everyone, you know, has a biased view of themselves. I mean, I think we had certainly the most entertaining show that was up in that market. I mean, I'm not saying it's the best show. I mean, that's different. That's for people to have their own opinion on it. But I just think in terms of entertainment, it was the most entertaining. It was certainly the most different show that was up there. But, and it was a great counter to every other show that there was on the airwaves. And it's funny because I think we both have heard, I mean, I've heard from a lot of Cougar fans because we're both Washington State alums, but I think I've heard from probably more Husky fans, you know, the same comment over and over again. I'm a Husky, but my God, you guys are my favorite show. I mean, we would dig at that Husky fans, but I mean, I think if you're smart enough and you realize what we were doing, there was so much, you know, tongue in cheek involved in it and not trying to be too serious about it. You know, some got it, some didn't. We're kind of playing a role and playing a part, and it was always in good nature. It was always in good fun. I mean, my God, our best moments with our guy Softy, who I know you've had on a bunch, and you know, he would get it, and we would get it, you know, back from him. And I always thought it just made for great, entertaining radio.
Puck, I obviously wish you the best. I think it's going to be great. And for people who want to see it, PuckSports.com, give it a look, check it out, share it with friends. Tune in and listen to him. If it's for you, it's for you. You'll know it right away. Jason Puckett, keep up the fight.
You're the man. When you go to the website, John, you'll see the picture of me. You're wondering who that is. That's Bill the Beer Man. Now, some of you old school Portland people will remember Bill the Beer Man because he worked at the Kingdome for the Seahawks, but he also did it for the Blazers. That was a Halloween costume from years ago, Bill the Beer Man.
Love that.
You're the best. Honestly, you mean the world to me, and thank you for everything.
Thank you, Puck. Appreciate you. Leave it here. More ahead. Remember to bet responsibly, and also don't be afraid to bet on yourself once in a while. You'll know when the time comes. Great show today, a quick and dirty show, 1 hour. I want to thank Jason Puckett for joining us. If you missed that interview, share it with friends, family, and consume it yourself by going wherever you get a podcast, and you can find the Bald Face Truth Radio Show podcast. And if you are listening to this via podcast, reach out and make that commitment. Subscribe. That way you won't miss a damn thing. All right, women's NCAA tournament action. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Portland Regional kicking off, tipping off tomorrow. We've got March Madness ahead right here on 750 The Game. You'll hear the games right after we sign off here in about a minute. The Bald-Faced Truth, of course, not here for a long time, just a good time. Have a great evening, everybody. Appreciate you.